Grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you as we gather on this Sunday, this second Sunday of Christmas, to worship and praise the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Just have a couple of announcements to make. I know ordinarily this Sunday is a communion Sunday, but we have decided that because of the emergence of the Omicron variant, that we will, in an abundance of caution, dispense with our communion until the spike has subsided a bit. So we will not be having communion on this Sunday, but we anticipate and look forward to having it again in the near future. So no communion this Sunday. We will be having our ordination and installation of our officers. I believe we are scheduled to do that in January the 9th. Next Sunday, we will have the installation and ordination of our officers. If you are one of the newly incoming officers to be installed and ordained, please make sure you will be here next Sunday for that installation and ordination. Again, please go to our webpage and make sure that you read your bulletin thoroughly so that you can stay abreast of things that are happening here at Alney Presbyterian Church. Our Old Testament reading this morning will come from Isaiah. We'll be reading from chapter 60 of the book of Isaiah, verses 1 through 5. It is found on page 639 of your pew Bibles, also printed in your bulletin. So at this time, let us listen to God's word for us. Arise, shine, for your light is come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes round about and see. They all gather together, they come to you. Your sons shall come from far, and your daughters shall be carried in the arms. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and rejoice, because the abundance of the sea shall be turned to you, and the wealth of the nations shall come to you. Our New Testament reading this morning comes from the book of Ephesians. We'll be reading from chapter 3 of the book of Ephesians, verses 1 through 12. And again, it's found on page 1018 of your pew Bibles, and again, also printed in your bulletin. So let us listen to God's word for us. For this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner for Jesus Christ on behalf of you Gentiles, assuming that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you, how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I have written briefly. When you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. That is, how the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Of this gospel, I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given me by the working of his power. To me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things, that through the church the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places. This was according to the eternal purpose which he has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and confidence of access through our faith in him. It's the word of the Lord. Amen. I like what the Apostle Paul says here in the middle of this iconic passage from the book of Ephesians just read. He says something about the gift of God's grace, which is always a good thing to talk about. After all, isn't that why we are here this morning on this second day of the new calendar year? We are here to acknowledge the gift of God's grace. The grace of seeing us through another year. 2021, like 2020, was a difficult year for all kind of reasons. But even in the midst of all of that, we are still here. We made it through, and it is because of the gift of God's grace. It is God that sustained us. It is God that kept us. It is God that empowers us, and we are here this morning because of the gift of God's grace. And isn't that what this season is all about as well? This season of Christmas. Yes, we are still in Christmas. We have a few more days of Christmas left. Christmas is until January the 6th, so we have a few more days left. But Christmas is about the gift of God's grace to the whole world. It is about God turning towards the world, not in anger, not in condemnation, not in judgment, but God turning towards the world in grace. The grace that comes incarnated in the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He is the gift of God's grace to the whole world. And that is what Paul is reminding the Ephesians and reminding all of us about the gift of God's grace, the gift of God's wonderful grace for the whole world. The book of Ephesians, of course, is a book of encouragement. Paul writes this letter in order to encourage this little community of faith, this small community of God's people, this small community of Gentiles and Jews who are living together in the midst of a large empire. Paul wants them to understand how special they are, just as he wants us to understand how special we are. It's easy to forget that sometimes. It's easy to forget how special we are. Sometimes we believe that other gatherings, that other people are more special, that other gatherings and other people are more important, that they have more going on, that we're not very special at all. But Paul wants us to understand how special we are. Doesn't make any difference how large we are. Doesn't make any difference the big numbers. Paul wants you to understand this morning that you are special. And you are special because of the gift of God's grace. God's grace has been poured out upon you. We have all been grasped by God's wonderful, life-giving grace. Paul knows a thing or two about that. He knows a thing or two about God's grace from his own personal experience. Paul's not just interested in the cosmic dimensions of God's grace, but Paul wants the Ephesian community to see how God's grace had grasped him personally. He says here in Ephesians that he is the least of all the saints. And when you first hear Paul say something like that, you want to say, come on, Paul. What are you talking about? You're the least of all the saints. You, after all, are responsible for writing most of the books in the New Testament. You, after all, are responsible for bringing the word, the gospel to the Gentile world. What do you mean that you are the least of all the saints? But Paul is not simply engaging in an act of false humility here. Paul is reminding the Ephesians of the fact that he, more than anyone, did everything that he could to stamp the early Christian movement out. He did everything he could to destroy it. He wanted to stamp it out. And not because Paul was a bad person or because he was an ungodly person. In fact, the very opposite is true. Paul was what you might call a religious zealot. He was zealous. He was zealous for the ways of God. He was zealous for the ways of his ancestors, zealous for the law. He would do anything that he could to protect what he saw was the ways of God among his people. He would do anything to protect the integrity and the righteousness of his people. He would do anything to protect the righteousness of the law. Paul was zealous, so zealous that he was capable of using violence in order to protect the ways of God in the way he understood it. And that's what he was on his way to Damascus to do in the book of Acts. He was on his way to persecute this new movement of Christians, this new movement that Paul saw as a threat. He hated this Christian movement. But while he was there on the way to Damascus, he experienced the gift of God's grace. And it's interesting because Paul wasn't looking for it. He didn't go in search of it. He wasn't anticipating it. He wasn't in any way looking for it, but God was looking for Paul. And he experienced the gift of God's grace. He turned his world upside down. He met on the road the Lord Jesus Christ himself and experienced firsthand the gift of God's grace. He experienced the presence of the living Lord himself. And the Lord doesn't condemn Paul. The Lord isn't angry with Paul. Instead, he gives Paul a whole new understanding of God and a whole new understanding of what God is up to. He gives Paul a whole new understanding of who God's people are, a whole new understanding of what God is up to in the world. He lets Paul understand that God is not just concerned with Jews, but God is concerned for the whole world. God is concerned for everyone. God is concerned for the people that Paul thought that God shouldn't be concerned about. God is doing a whole new thing. And God gives Paul not only a new understanding, but God gives Paul a new mission. Paul, the person who hated Christians, Paul, the person who employed violence, Paul, the person whose very name struck fear in the hearts of many Christians. God chose Paul to go to the Gentiles, to proclaim the good news to the Gentiles, to be a minister of the gospel to Gentiles. A whole new mission. And Paul knows in his heart, it's not because of anything that he did. It's only because of the gift of God's grace. It's because God opened his heart and his mind. It's because God opened his eyes. It's because God helped him to be able to see that he has this new mission. That he would be the one who would take the gospel to people that he would have otherwise not even have given the time of day. And isn't that how God's grace often works? People we believe are too incorrigible, people we might believe are too rooted in the past, people who we might believe are not able to change, people we believe might be too mired in the world the way that it is. These are the very people that God often grasps with the gift of God's grace. and they end up being the people that God uses to extend God's purposes in the world. I was reading an article on CNN recently. It was written by a former parishioner of mine in my first church in Atlanta, a church where I served as an associate pastor. And the article was written about my friend and mentor when I was a young pastor, Nibs Stroop. Nibs was he and his wife Caroline were the pastors of Oakhurst Presbyterian Church in Atlanta. But Nibs grew up in rural Arkansas, and he always kind of reminded me of a Paul-like figure. He grew up in rural Arkansas during the waning days of the Jim Crow era. And he was raised and nurtured in the Presbyterian Church, raised and nurtured by good, decent people who loved him and who cared for him and who taught him a great deal about God and about the ways of God. But he also acknowledged it was the people of the church, along with other people who loved him and cared for him, people in his family, people who were close to him. It was also those very people, he says, who taught him racism that was very powerful in Arkansas at that time. It was just a part of the air that everyone breathed, he said. And I breathed it in, and people taught it to me. He said that no one really actually sat down and gave him a course in how to be a racist. He just thought that that was the way things were supposed to be. That was the way and that God ordained things to be. That black people and white people were not supposed to worship together, that they were not supposed to live together, they were not supposed to do things together. It's just the way things were. And he said he was a young boy when the schools were attempting to be integrated, and he remembers the mobs of people who gathered to protest the integration. And he remembered how he was on the side of the mobs. The last thing he wanted to do was to go to school with people of another race, because he just believed that it was forbidden by God. But while a junior in high school, he experienced the gift of God's grace. One of his English teachers, a Jewish woman, assigned him a novel to read, and the novel was Alan Paton's Cry, the Beloved Country, about apartheid in South Africa. And Nibs noted that it was in that novel that he met his first black person. Not that he hadn't seen black folks before there in Arkansas. He saw them all the time. He constantly encountered them, but he just never believed that they were people, like he was a person. But it was there in reading that novel that he, for the first time, engaged the humanity of someone who was black. And it changed his whole world, turned it upside down. He came away with a whole new understanding of God, and a whole new understanding of who God's people are. And who God is concerned about. God is not just concerned with one group of people. God is not just concerned with one race. But God cares about everybody. God is concerned about everyone. And so it gave him a new mission. Like Paul, he began to have a new understanding of God and a new mission. He became a civil rights activist. He became a winning author, an award-winning author, and a prominent anti-racism speaker in the Presbyterian Church and indeed around the nation. and as pastor of Oakhurst Presbyterian Church, where I served for 6 years, the church became known as a place that was very much intentional in racial reconciliation, of bringing people together of all races and all persuasions. And all of it because of the gift of God's grace. The gift of God's grace poured out on one of God's chosen ones. Today we are beginning at the beginning of a new calendar year, and none of us know what 2022 will bring. I suspect that it'll probably bring more of what we've already experienced, more of what we've already seen, more division, more conflict, more strife of all kinds along the various social fault lines. But the good news for all of us, and indeed the good news for the whole world, is that you and I are not imprisoned to any of that. You and I are not imprisoned to the past. We are not imprisoned to the categories of the world. We are not imprisoned by the world's divisions. We are not imprisoned by any of that. We are not imprisoned by it because we have all received the gift of God's grace. We've all had God's grace poured out upon all of us. And what that means is that all of us together, all of us as God's people, have been given a new mission. We've been given a special mission. And that mission, as Paul tells us, is to make the manifold wisdom of God. A wisdom that was hidden from the very beginning of time, a wisdom that was hidden from past generations. Our goal, our mission, is to make the manifold wisdom of God plain for the whole world to see. And that manifold wisdom, that plan that we are called to make visible, is the plan for the unity of all, for dividing walls to be broken down, for hostility to cease. And that's God's plan through the gift of God's grace poured out on you and on me. As I said, ordinarily we would be having communion today. That's what the early church did whenever they got together for communion. They would come together around a meal. People from various backgrounds, Jews and Gentiles who didn't get along with each other, Jews and Gentiles who would have nothing to do with each other, people from every background, from every walk of life, they would come together and they would share a meal together in the view of the whole world, and people could see that the categories and divisions of the world were broken down in this new community of people. This new community of people who have been unified, united in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what made them special. That's what continues to make us special today. I always love it here at Alney Church whenever we have our dinners. We haven't been able to have as many as we've had in the past given the pandemic, but I love it when we have our dinners, and especially when the pictures are posted on Facebook, because people have an opportunity to see. They have an opportunity to see how special you are, how special this congregation is, how special it is because we are people from every walk of life, people from every nationality, people from every persuasion, but we are united in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are one. All of those categories that divide the rest of the world, all of those categories that divide our city, all of those special categories that keep our nation fighting with each other. None of those categories mean anything here because we are one. We are united. The only thing that matters is that we are one in the Lord Jesus Christ. That is our identity because we have had God's grace poured out upon us. Through God's grace, we've been able to let go of all of those other identities. All of those other categories no longer have any hold on us. The only thing that matters is that we belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. We are one. Think about what that means, what that should mean in our current environment, in our current world. In a world where we are constantly fighting with each other, in a world where we are constantly polarized, in a world where the divisions are so pronounced, as God's people, we are called to make the mystery of God's plan available for everyone to see. That in the Lord Jesus Christ, all of those walls are being broken down. When people can see that, when they can see it in us, then they get a glimpse of what the future is supposed to be, what God's coming future is supposed to be. A future where we are all one, knitted together in the Lord Jesus Christ. Some people, of course, will not want that vision. Some people, of course, will rather hang on to the old. They would rather hang on to their divisions. They would rather hang on to the things that they believe are sacrosanct about some aspect of their identity. They want to hold on to their racism. They want to hold on to their nationalism. They want to hold on to their classism. They want to hold on to all the divisions. They don't want God's grace. But we can never give up on them. We can never give up on them because God's grace is often poured out on the most unsuspected people. People that we thought might not ever be reached by the love of God. People like Paul. People like Nibs. Perhaps people like you and me. People who've had our minds and our hearts expanded because of the love of God, so that we're able to see the mystery of what God is all about in the world. And we are called to continue to make that mystery available and known. We are called to continue to be the people who make manifest the gift of God's grace in our own hearts. May we continue to do that in 2022. May we continue to do that well into the future. May we continue to let our light shine. May we continue to be the people for whom people come from all over the world to see our light, to see who we are called to be, to see what it means to be God's people, to see what it means to love, to see what it means to care for one another, to see what it means to have God's Spirit pulsating in our midst, to see what it means to be people of grace. It's our mission. It's who we are. We are called to be the light of the world because we have the light of the one who came in the midst of us to show us what it really means to be human and what it really means to be the people of God. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we are sustained this morning only because of your grace. It is because of the goodness of your grace moving in the midst of our hearts, moving in the midst of our world, that we have life and have it in abundance. It's only in the midst of, because of your grace, that we gather here as your special people, the people that you have called to turn the world upside down. Lord, we ask that you help us to live into that vocation. Help us to understand how special we are. Help us to understand the special mission that you have given us, that we are called to make the future known, your future of love, your future of forgiveness, your future of reconciliation. Help us to make that future available now so that the world can truly see, can see you, can see your great love in all of us. We ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.